Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Steph Wentworth, and you're listening to the Autosport Podcast. We may have caught a glimmer of it a few days ago, but Red Bull has finally taken the wraps off what is set to be the car to beat, the RB20. Building on the RB19 that saw them win all but one race last year, Red Bull will be hoping it has taken another step forward in the fight to retain both the Constructors and the Drivers' Championship. I am Steph Wentworth, and joining me live from the Red Bull launch is Alex Kalinakis, as well as Jake Boxall-Legg. Let's get straight into it, guys. First, Alex, you are at the launch itself. You've seen the car with your own eyes. What are your thoughts on the RB20?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let's talk about what an amazing location. Hat tip to Red Bull's PR chief, Paul Smith, for letting us come back here, have a little sneaking recording. This is where we started the day. All the media, all the fans, everybody who was at the event today started off here. So we got a little look around, not all of the Red Bulls that they've done in their history. We started off here, and then we moved over to a dedicated launch space where obviously they recorded the film that everybody will have seen of the car. And yeah, I mean, it's important, I think, to address this location, first of all, because that was really the message of the team's launch today. A key point of it was this is the RB20, the 20th Red Bull car. Obviously the RB16 and RB16B, or you know, it's gonna ruin the continuous streak of one number changing each year. But you know, that was their whole thing, was this is, look what we've achieved for our history, and look what we can still go on to achieve together. And the RB20, I mean, it's gonna have a lot of significant expectations of it. Not only because of what the RB19 achieved, but also because it is looking dramatically different. I mean, I think the main takeaway is the sort of Mercedes-like bulges, the sort of louvre, the sort of shelf, whatever, you know, word you want to use to describe it, that goes on, comes back almost from the halo, goes the length of the engine cover. It looks very dramatic. It looks, I mean, the level of skill involved to machine such a thing is absolutely tremendously impressive. But it goes beyond that. If you look further down the car, particularly look at the side pod areas, we've got vertical side pod inlets. So what was the last car to have that? Well, it was the Mercedes W14, inspired by the Mercedes W13 before that, the zero pod car. So is that an indication of that something Red Bull's looking at? We don't know at this stage. The car everybody's seen today is the launch spec car. It's what the team will start the season with. It's very much not got its real floor on it. I think the sort of chatter amongst everybody gathered here was that was very much a fake floor. It looked like it was absolutely solid. I can't imagine they wasted carbon fiber on it. But yeah, don't expect the team to be starting the season with that. But yeah, I think the key takeaway really is that, you know, Sergio Perez said it. He thinks that the team has been really brave with the changes that it's made, because, yes, it's an evolution, but it's more than that. Let's face it.
Jake, let's talk a little bit more about the car design, because in yesterday's W15 launch video, we spoke about the W14 shoulder bulge. Alex has just alluded to the fact that Red Bull have brought out something similar. What else have we noticed in the new design of this RB20?
Well,
I like to look at this because I've spent a few days looking at this because, you know, we got those leaks on Twitter of varying quality. I was trying to look at it as close as I can to kind of get a little bit of an indication of what we'd see today. I think when you, as Alex mentioned, when you look at those side pods, it just seems to be in stark contrast to a trend that they've set themselves, that Red Bull had set with that kind of protruding lower lip on the inlet. Every team more or less has gravitated towards that, apart from the McLaren MCL 38. And now Red Bull has moved away from that. Instead, it's just got this sort of protruding, it's basically where they put the side impact structure. This is the leading edge of the side pods. And rather than going into a kind of conventional inlet, we've got that vertical side pod inlet. And this is kind of paired with quite a sort of heavy undercut. So what we're getting is just this magnified effect of bringing this airflow along around the edges of the floor, trying to improve the pressure distribution over the top of the diffuser, ensure that that's a lot more powerful. And again, yeah, we've got those very sort of heavy set shoulders, like sort of cannon kind of outlets, other people have called them as well. Yeah, blending into the halo. It just seems to be, again, very, very inspired by that W14 concept, something that Mercedes itself has moved away from now. So the thing that intrigues me, that interests me about it is what has Red Bull seen in these designs that Mercedes couldn't get out of it? Is Red Bull going down the same, I guess, cul-de-sac and it's going to get trapped there? Has it been able to put something together in the wind tunnel that they've been able to unlock some performance from? That's the interesting part of this. What has Red Bull seen in it that caused Mercedes to move away from it? I think obviously we're only going to know when the cars hit the track, but it's hugely interesting that a concept seemingly discarded is relevant to this, the team that's won the last two titles.
Absolutely. And I'm sure it will be incredibly interesting to see if Red Bull are able to make that concept that Mercedes initiated work. But last year's RB19 was statistically the most successful Formula One car in history. So the RB20 this year has some big shoes to fill. Alex, what have the teams said so far about this year's brand new design?
Well, Steph, let me consult my notebook, which the eagle-eyed viewer may be able to spot is the notebook provided by a very different Formula One team. So apologies to Red Bull for having it out, but it fits nicely into my back pocket. So that's why. Anyway, massive distraction. So the team, what they've been saying about it is that Christian Horner himself says it's not a conservative evolution, because I think if you look at it sort of front on, other than the main takeaways behind the driver's shoulders, as it were, and around the engine cover and the airbox, the sort of nose, the front of the shape is not too dissimilar. It's everything further down the car that really has changed. So yeah, it's that blend of the familiar with the new. So I thought that was sort of Horner's key messaging. I'm going to fail to turn the page. Here we go. Max Verstappen said he first saw these designs at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix at the end of the year, and his reaction was okay. That's something a little bit different. But yeah, as I said before with what Sergio Perez was saying, I think these are the most interesting comments in terms of what the team itself is saying, that it was really brave to have done this, because okay. Yep, the RB20 as we see it now is not a zero pod car. I know all the engineers in F1, and I can actually see Adrian Newey and Rob Marshall over the back of my laptop having a meeting where we've been very kindly allowed to film. So yeah, I'm sure they'll think I'm wittering on like a complete fool talking about this sort of thing. But the point is that Mercedes couldn't get it to work. So are we detecting something in Perez's words of it being really brave for Red Bull to have tried something that another team couldn't do? Is it potentially hubris? Is it the sort of thing of, well, we know there was development, we know the reason why Mercedes went down that path was because there were greater potential peak levels of downforce, it just couldn't successfully attain them with the floor and the suspension and everything moving around so much, the porpoising that we talked about so much in 2022. Does Red Bull think it can do that? That's the big question. Have they seen the potential as well, but actually got the solution and been able to do it? So that's gonna, if it comes, that's gonna be the key question. As of now, it's why have you taken on those notes, as it were?
Okay, let's bring it on to the drivers, and we'll start with the reigning Formula One champion, Max Verstappen. Obviously, he is the current driver to be at the minute, but as we mentioned earlier, he drove the RB20 around Silverstone earlier this week, and we spied a little bit of the on-track action via the hotel at Silverstone. Alex, what are his thoughts on the car so far?
Well, he opened up with a joke in the roundtable session that I was in. He said, "What, you know, how did it feel driving around that? Slippery, because it had been raining all day." So Max Verstappen, never one to miss the open goal of an obvious question. Let's put it that way. But yeah, it essentially, the sort of his main takeaway was, look, you know, it's a shakedown. It's a filming day. It's not going to be sort of about performance runs. But his main message was, everything, you know, fired up as it should have done. Everything felt fine. You know, just in terms of at this stage, obviously, the normal pre-season element to a car. But what I thought was particularly interesting was a comment Adrian Newey made on stage. You'd have seen that in the live stream of the launch, where he said that the car behaved as it should have done in terms of what they did in the shakedown. So, you know, again, let's throw this back a couple of years. We had teams destroying floors during the shakedowns because of the porpoising and things like that. So, you know, that's an encouraging sign. But yeah, to take it back to Max Verstappen, obviously he is the world champion. He gets asked a whole range of questions, not just sticking to the Red Bull launch script. I was one of those who tried to go a bit off-piste. And I said to him, you know, Max, you've talked very openly about, you know, things you'd like to achieve throughout your motorsport career, going off doing endurance racing. Is racing for Ferrari something you'd like to achieve in your life, or something that you would like to go on to do in your life, given the news of the last few weeks? And it's interesting, he just took a moment to just think about what he wanted to say, because, you know, Max has this reputation of speaking his mind, which, you know, is well deserved, but he does only do it on things that he really, really wants to talk about. But his answer, you know, was basically, look, I have no interest in going elsewhere. Obviously, that wasn't the question, but, you know, that's the key message that he wanted to put out there. He's not thinking about it. It's not something that's come up or crossed his mind. But he did say never. And again, you know, he acknowledged the fact that, you know, it's the allure of Ferrari. He understands why Lewis has gone there, but obviously still as surprised as anyone else. But generally, you know, the vibe is much the same as it has been since mid-2022. He is supremely confident. You get that air, you know, he's surrounded by this scrum of reporters in the sort of lights going off and turning off and on after the sort of chaos of the post-launch stage event, and he's just sat there, he's cracked his Red Bull open, he's answering our questions. If he doesn't want to talk about things, he won't talk about it. You know, obviously there's the Christian Horner investigation. It was made very clear you can't ask him questions about that. One nevertheless came up, his PR jumped in, but Max, you know, he still said a little bit about what he wanted to say, which was it's business as usual, and obviously that's still the main message from the rest of the team. But yeah, so far so much so normal with Max Verstappen, I'd say.
There you go, reigning champion, cool, calm and collected as always. But for his teammate Sergio Perez, obviously going up against Max is a very tough job. There are people who will argue he did not perform as well as he should have last year in 2023. What does he have to do this year? Has he said anything to you, Alex, at the event so far about his expectations for the year ahead?
It was more the sort of sense of, the question that he particularly got asked was, has the team set you any targets concerning, you know, what you might have to do to secure, you know, your job going forwards, essentially? And basically, Perez's answer was, look, you know, there's a very busy run of races. I don't want any distractions. I just want to concentrate on doing that. So I think if we pick into the subtext there, it's, let's see how the first few races go. If they go badly, then of course the questions are going to keep coming. But his main thing is he just really wants to get off to a clean start. You know, it was sort of a bit of a weird one at the start of last year. He was brilliant in Jeddah, brilliant in Baku, but was having those poor starts. Bahrain was one of those races where, you know, it didn't quite come off for him. And then obviously the season starts so long, you know, sorry, the season goes on so long in Formula One these days that actually you think you could still look at Perez's 2023 campaign and say he was still pretty bad in some of the early rounds, just not the sort of immediate early rounds. So his main thing is that he just wants to get a strong base, you know, develop from there really, and just not have the sort of peaks and troughs that he had last year. Obviously it was more a sort of a mountain, you know, up skiing up at the top of the Black Run, and then he came down it very quickly. But yeah, I think he just wants to be a bit more consistent and a bit more stable, and then ideally if he achieves that would dampen down the question and the speculation. The problem is we know that his contract's up, so it's obviously gonna keep coming. We know that silly season has kicked off very early with the Lewis Hamilton move to Ferrari, and that could have knock-on impacts everywhere, because so many drivers are going to be wanting to get their futures up wrapped up nice and quickly. But yeah, other than that, yeah, it was more sort of just talked a little bit about the more thinking and understanding that he'd done about what went wrong in 2023, that, you know, particularly felt that there were some car development changes that contributed to his season going off the rails, rather, or just definitely not being as good as he wanted it to be. But yeah, he's clearly a driver who, you know, understands that he's under pressure, but he's also been here before. There's quite often speculation about his future, so there wasn't a noticeable, you know, sense that he feels like he's in trouble or he's under pressure, or that he's already been told he's got his marching orders. So again, with Perez, it's very much sort of as you were at the end of 2023.
Well, let's begin to wrap things up and talk about Red Bull as a whole, because they have high expectations going into 2024. The general consensus is that they are the team to beat. With multiple years now of this Venturi Tunnel era experience, Jake, do you think this is going to be a more competitive year for the title?
Well, they absolutely have to be the favourites, don't they? Ultimately, the RB19 last year's car was the class of the field. With the RB18, they set a level. The RB19, they set another level. And this year's objective has to be to get every single win this season to go better than last season. The problem is everybody's converging. Ferrari, Mercedes, a lot of them using sort of tweaks that Red Bull has introduced previously. So getting back there for them has got to be the main thing. And then you've got McLaren, Aston Martin hoping to do the same thing, and other teams trying to bridge that midfield gap. So there's a lot at stake this season, and hopefully that kind of convergence of ideas on the marketplace will really bring an exciting field together. I'm just hoping that we do get a good season out of it.
Very much. I am looking forward to it as well. Alex, tell us about your final thoughts on the RB20 and what you expect to see from Red Bull in the 24 races in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I think my main takeaway is it's just been really nice to see a car and see it look different, other than the livery, obviously, which is completely unchanged. And did we ever expect it to change? Of course not. It's a bit of a shame, really, you know, just looking around some of the cars that are here or maybe over there, over my shoulder there, that they did used to do the old one-off thing. We saw that 2021 lovely white livery car for the Turkish Grand Prix. It'd be great to see them doing things like that again. But no, I think the main takeaway from that is that it did look, in terms of its design, there were elements of it that were noticeably different compared to most other teams, where they've either not revealed certain elements of the car, or, you know, things are just absolutely the same in very minor livery tweaks, or it's just that we're talking about carbon fiber or things like that. So that's my main takeaway from today, is just that it's nice to be talking about something different. I think that there is excitement building, that, you know, that all this talk of convergence, all this talk of maybe the teams could be closer together, it could be in for a really, really exciting season. I love that. I just still, you cannot say that this team is not the overwhelming favourite and the favourite for potentially every single race win this season. So it would be lovely for there to be a title fight. Things do tend to get closer when the regulations are stable, but the fact that we're seeing Red Bull embrace very, very different design elements, despite the fact we've seen them before at another team, that has me worried that they could then go a step further clear. It could be completely the opposite way. It could be that this completely undoes them. But until we see that, we can't know it. And unfortunately, we've got to stay very much in reality.
And with that, F1's launch season is over. With Bahrain testing just under a week away, we will finally get to see these cars out on track and hopefully get some insight as to who's got it right and who's got it wrong. Until then, thanks for listening to the Autosport Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.